The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson along with David Ross and Mark Mahady. George Allman is in an airport. He's in an airport somewhere on his way home. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
No. It rained off and on
most of the morning.
Some pretty good showers too. I thought the rain was over, but I was wrong.
So were the forecasters, but you know.
I did notice the vernal pools over by Miramar are starting to fill up again.
Or they're full?
They're pretty much full.
At least,
we're not done.
No. There's going to be a, what is it, Monday? The next one's going to, or well, no,
gonna
Sunday
start.
Is going to
start tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sometime in the afternoon, and it might end sometime towards the end of the week.
Well, hopefully the clouds that we have now will blow out before 6:43 this evening.
What's happening at 6:43 this evening?
There's another rocket launch.
Ah, good. Did you see the space station go over last night?
No.
The clouds broke. I did get to see it last night.
No, I was playing poker in our garage.
I missed you just it. Stepped
where
outside.
Where were you needed to be?
Yeah.
We're expecting tomorrow afternoon through Tuesday another 2 to 3 inches of rain along the coast.
Yeah.
Up to 5 or 6 inches in the mountains.
That's a lot of water.
Much more up north.
That's a lot of water.
It's a lot of water.
Yeah.
And they're talking about rain continuing, heavy rain off and on through Wednesday, and then lighter rain on maybe Thursday and Friday.
Good. Another lost week.
So be prepared.
Yeah. And, you know, so if you... if you missed the first storm, putting some fertilizer down.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. At 2 to 3 inches?
Well, that's...
Yeah, you got to be
that's
careful.
That's a lot. Well, it depends on how fast it comes down.
Yes.
So, but if you miss the first storm and you miss the second storm, you got a third one possibly coming up.
Although, in my yard, there were specific areas where I should not have put down fertilizer, where it washed away. But there's lots of areas where that didn't happen.
You mean like your driveway?
Well, right alongside there, yes. I moved a big railroad tie into position on Wednesday for the relative non-event of Thursday's rain. I mean, it wasn't that bad for the south half of the county, so that I can redirect a little bit more. But those trees I'm not going to feed because they're forecasting more rain this Monday than they did for the Monday that we got.
You sure that railroad tie is not going to end up in the middle of Highway 94?
Yes. Yes, there's plenty of trees to stop it.
Well, that's
good. I hope.
Yeah, well,
it'll end up in the neighbor's pool again.
Well, we'll find out. It was nice at the house this morning when I left. It was partly cloudy.
Yes.
A few clouds, but it was 49, so it wasn't as cold as I thought it was going to be.
It was 46 degrees at my house. I had a porch light. I did have illumination from the moon, and I was able to discern the difference between the two. I hope George is listening in the airport so that he knows that this time
you
I
did recognize
I
under, the
I understand.
Moon.
Yeah. But it was beautiful out. And then it got more cloudy as I got closer to the coast. But it was...
I didn't notice that.
It was clear out in the eastern stretches. Did you have... Oh, we're not talking to you yet. but it got... There was more low clouds right here in La Jolla as we approached the radio station.
Well, there usually is closer to the coast, so... let's see. We have garden classes today.
Oh, you're on because George isn't here to back you up on that.
Yeah. What's the date today? Is it the 3rd?
Yes.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Because I was sitting here looking at this. I was like, I thought I did that last week. February 3rd. San Diego today is at 9 o'clock. It's going to be Fruit Tree Question and Answer with Tyler Trimble. Tyler puts on a fantastic class, always popular. If you would like to go to that class, make sure you get there early so you can not only get a parking space, but you can get a good seat for that class. That's at 9 o'clock in San Diego. At 9:30 in Poway, it's going to be Designing with California Natives with Sharon from Butterfly Effect Gardening. And we have a really good selection of natives in Poway.
She's been working with George and the buyers to get in the things she wants to recommend and to talk about. So there's going to be a good selection relative to what she's talking about, in addition just to a good selection.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that should be a good class today. And also, if you're interested in natives and you're not there for the class, you can always grab Chris or Shirley in the Poway store. They're both extremely knowledgeable when it comes to native plants. And there are a lot to choose from. As you know, I have taken a little more of an interest in native plants now that we actually have some that look like something. Before it was kind of slim pickings and not anything to get excited about. But there is stuff to get excited about out there now. Next weekend, February 10th, in San Diego at 9 o'clock, it's going to be Spring Bulbs with Kathleen. We'll touch on bulbs in a little bit here. And in Poway, it's going to be How Orchids Rebloom, and it's also going to be a book signing with local author and former employee Chuck McClung. Chuck also puts on an outstanding class. So there again, get there. You don't have to get there quite as early in Poway because we do have plenty of parking. But it never hurts to get there and get a good seat, grab a cup of coffee, and get ready for the class.
I got in trouble for saying that on the air once. For saying that we have a bigger parking lot in Poway.
Well, we do.
Well, it's substantially bigger.
I know. And it is the first Saturday of the month, is it not?
Today is.
Yes. Yes. So we will have Ronan Sharpening today.
Yes.
In Poway?
Yes. I think today, is it today and tomorrow?
And tomorrow's the first Sunday of the month, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you need stuff sharpened, Ronan Sharpening will be in the Poway store.
From 10 until 2,
10 to 2, I think it is, yeah. He's right out front. You can't miss him. And then don't forget, February 14th is coming up. That's going to be Valentine's Day.
Is it this year?
For those of you that celebrate. I think it usually is.
On the 14th? Okay.
The 14th. Let's see. What do we have going on in Balboa Park? This weekend, the Camellia Society show and sale is today and tomorrow from, it says 8 to 10 p.m. I kind of doubt that closing time, but that's what's printed on their schedule. And then next weekend, it's Cactus and Succulent Society spring show and sale. That is the 9th, 10th. And the 11th, and then the 16th, 17th, and 18th. I've talked about this before. The San Diego Mycological Society is having their annual fungus fair, and that is
pretty cool.
That is an outstanding show. I mean, if you have not been to one, make a note. If you haven't been to one, and you want a good excuse to go to Balboa Park, not that you need a good excuse to go to Balboa Park, but the annual fungus fair from the Mycological Society is absolutely fascinating. The variety of stuff that they bring in, a lot of the members will go out and forage locally to find different fungi to bring in. Some people grow some of the stuff themselves. They have culinary mushrooms there. It's just amazing. It's an absolutely amazing show, and I was blown away when I went to go see it because I had no clue that there was so much diversity.
Right.
I don't either, But mushrooms, especially raw mushrooms, even good raw mushrooms, doesn't work for me.
Is that kind of like that genetic thing with coriander too?
I don't think it's genetic. I think it's more mental, which probably makes more sense to you.
Well, you did have that bad experience when you grew the mushrooms and almost killed yourself from your allergy.
Oh my gosh, the spores from that. I put it in the old kid's playroom in a big brownie tin, the biggest one. It won't fit. Mm-hmm. It's too big for my oven. But I finally took it out and put it outside. The mushrooms are perfectly preserved. They look like they're totally usable.
Well, they are. You just have to use them. Yeah.
Even after this period of time?
Oh, well, you never used them?
I never used them.
Oh.
I watched it work. I watched them make a mess, and I took them out and put them in the rain. So I'm guessing I'm going to get more fungus out of the backside of that thing.
Maybe. Yeah.
They still look edible.
I doubt they've gotten poisonous sitting there, but how edible
that'll
they are.
That'll be my excuse.
They're probably turned into
those are from
probably
mountain,
turned into leather.
Mountain mushroom farm?
Mountain Meadow, I think. Mountain Meadow mushroom farm.
That was really neat, and I should
It was
have,
incredible. Yeah. And the ones that we grew were absolutely outstanding as far as flavor is concerned. They were really, really good.
See, I would have had to have harvested and prepared. But so I'll slit the backside of the bag and see what happens.
You will get more, I'm sure. Because we did. Yeah, we got a second crop off the back of it. Almost more than we could eat. It was amazing. If you're interested in growing your own mushrooms, you can check it out at Mountain Meadow Mushroom. Just look for – do a Google search for Mountain Meadow Mushroom Farm. They're up in the north part of Escondido. And they have an incredible operation up there. And they have growing kits that you can buy. And that was what – I think it was oyster mushrooms was what we grew.
Ginormous oyster mushrooms, or I guess if you leave them on long enough. But they pop up so quickly.
Very quickly. It's amazing how fast they grow. If you do grow them in the house, make sure you put them somewhere where you don't mind spore dust getting everywhere. Because we have a glass dining room table in our dining room, and Melanie had put it on a cookie sheet in the dining room, and I walked in, and I'm like, well, why is the table white? And it was spores from the mushrooms.
That works on a wooden table as well.
Yeah, it was a fun experiment. I know Blake really enjoyed it too. He was our mycological technician.
Well, there are more and more benefits that you keep reading about and hearing about with mushrooms, but I don't know what it is. I have an aversion to them, unless they're cooked. Cooked mushrooms, I'm totally down with.
No, they're good. They're very good. You know, there's a at the Ferry Building in San Francisco. The entire building is dedicated to culinary things, and it's a bunch of little storefronts and things like, and some restaurants and things like that. And there's a mushroom store. At least there was the last time
I was
there.
I wonder what kind of mushrooms they sell in San Francisco.
Oh, man, they had all kinds of stuff up there. But the one, and I can never remember which one is the most expensive, whether it's white truffle or black truffle, but whatever the expensive one was.
It was there.
It was insane.
Well,
yeah.
It's funny when you said fairy, when we were talking about the dust being all over the tables, I was thinking maybe that's where pixie dust came from. Was from magic mushrooms and Disney creation and creators, and the spore dust got out there, and that became pixie dust. And then you said fairy, which was ferry, but yeah. I heard the other. All right.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson along with David Ross and Mark Mahady. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and Mark Mahady. George has a day off. If you would like to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Interesting little – the February newsletter is out. If you did not get it in your email, it is available online at walteranderson.com. As a matter of fact, all of our newsletters are available online back to 2003 if you would like to check them out. But there was an interesting article in here this week. I didn't even know Melanie was going to put this in, but about lettuce. Do you know where the lettuce capital of the world was in the 1920s and 1930s?
No, I did not. And I probably proofed that, but where was it?
Kent, Washington.
Hmm.
And then it said...
I know where the winter lettuce capital of the world is because I've driven through it on my way to Prescott.
I have as well over in Yuma. But it said... Kent's salad days were over when Boeing Space Center replaced the lettuce fields to provide space for the construction of the Apollo lunar rover.
Kind of tells you how big of a space Boeing needed for that project.
Well, I'm thinking about that. I mean, if that was the lettuce capital of the world and the lunar rover project took it over, we must not have been growing very much lettuce back then.
Yeah, it's just green water.
Yeah. And then there was one thing in the article that I thought was kind of crazy myself. It says Christopher Columbus brought lettuce seeds to North America on his second journey to the continent. He never set foot in North America. He only set foot on the islands, as far as I know, in the Caribbean. I don't believe he ever set foot on the actual North American continent.
I guess you should have proofed that newsletter story.
Well, I didn't write it, so it is what it is. So anyway,
I was amazed when I learned that the lettuce areas rotated. They migrated with the weather. I never considered that, but they start in Yuma in the winter, and then as it starts getting too hot in the desert, the lettuce production moves coastally. It moves westward, and then when it gets warm in the south half of the state, westward in California, it moves north.
Well, where does it move westward from Yuma? Because it certainly doesn't move here.
Somewhere else in California, and then goes up the coast. I don't know.
Oh, well, okay, I could see that, I guess. So, anyway, well, we are very fortunate. We are very fortunate today. We have a guest in studio with us, Kevin Grangetto from Grangetto's Farm and Grove Supply,
Farm and Garden Supply
yeah. Here in San Diego. You have stores in Encinitas, Olivenhane.
Yeah, Encinitas, Fallbrook, and Escondido.
And Escondido. Okay. Oh, did you?
We closed Valley Center. There's no water up there.
Oh, The Olivenhane store is the one.
Is the Encinitas.
Encinitas. Okay, uh-huh. Because it's right on the border of Rancho Santa Fe.
Exactly.
You were right next. Well, they used to call it the La Bajada Dip.
But we still are there.
Is it still there?
Still, but we don't flood out all the time.
I was going to say.
We used to have a problem with the transportation before they built the bridge.
Yeah, so I remember fording is that the San Diego River that comes through
there? Yeah, and that's the same place. Yeah, it was kind of bad for business for a while.
You couldn't
get in the store.
Yeah, I remember that as a kid because my dad's uncle owned a sod farm. Right around the corner from there on La Orilla.
Yeah,
James Anderson.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where, for years, that's where we got all of our sod from.
Oh, wow.
And then he used to grow all the dichondra for the fairgrounds during fair season.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a long history. There's a lot in Rancho Santa Fe. Our landlord is Mr. Badger, and they've been around there for generations.
That name sounds very familiar.
Yeah, the Badger Building in downtown Rancho Santa Fe, but Chuck Badger and then his father, and now Chuck Jr. is our landlord.
Oh.
So three generations of Badgers.
Yeah. It's interesting. My dad's uncle, he lived on Mount Soledad, and that's where his original sod farm was.
Wow.
And then something happened, and I think the city took a bunch of his land from eminent domain, and so he said, well, I'm never going to subject myself to this again, so I'm going to buy property out in the middle of nowhere. And so he ended up buying that property and ended up right in the middle of the Rancho Santa Fe Covenant.
Wow.
So I think they had
good investment.
I think they had 7 acres out there.
Wow.
And grew, They grew dichondra, bluegrass, Bermuda, and a small amount of Korean grass. But he could grow dichondra like
that was
like so- nobody's business. Because I remember it was just – it was stunning standing in the middle of like 2 acres of just absolutely perfect dichondra with no brown spots in it, not a single weed in it. It was beautiful. It was really, really neat.
Yeah, we used to have some at our home years ago. Our first ranch was in where Costco is in San Marcos. That was our first ranch. We had 35 acres, but our home lawn was dichondra, mm-hmm. which I don't think you see much of that anymore.
Nobody grows it for sod anymore. We can still get it as in ground cover flats, right. But nobody. I think Southland Sod Farms was the last one to actually grow it in sod form, and they quit. What, 6 or 7 years ago, something like that, they stopped growing it. But it's probably my favorite ground cover, my favorite lawn. My grandfather had it in his backyard when I was growing up as a kid. And way back in the day, Scotts had a product called
Bonus
and Super Bonus, and they were specifically for dichondra, and it was a weed and feed.
Wow.
And the herbicide that was in it was Monuron.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad telling me we had a Japanese gardener who was a customer of ours. The only thing he did was maintain dichondra lawns. That's all he did. Wow. Clients had dichondra lawns, and all he did was buy Bonus and Super Bonus, mm-hmm. and that was it. And because it worked perfectly, because dichondra is a broadleaf weed, it's broadleaf grass,
right.
or broadleaf lawn. You can't use broadleaf weed killers on it, but Monuron work.
It was selective enough,
yeah. but it wouldn't affect the dichondra. And then they banned Monuron, and that was the end of that. And that was the beginning of dichondra
right.
as a
ground cover.
Useful ground cover, yeah. unfortunately. So tell us about Grand Jettos.
Oh, gosh, we've been around since 1952. My dad started it, and so we're carrying on the tradition 72 years later. So you guys have even more history than we do, but we've everything it takes to grow a plant we carry, whether it's irrigation, fertilizers, pesticides, organic is a big thing now.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with the local farm community as well. So we farm 55 acres of avocados and 15 acres of lemons up in Escondido.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the trek down here today, and I'm excited to be here. And thank you for our partnership with you is amazing, because we send people to you guys all the time because you have great plants and great knowledge. And that's the same thing that we pride ourselves on too.
Well, we definitely refer people up to you as well. You were originally more farm and grove driven, correct?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then we kind of changed to farm and garden about probably 10, 15 years ago with our name,
mm-hmm.
just because as the groves disappeared, the people with backyard homes and landscapes decided to make use of our services.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to let that people know. And then we had a website and all those different things. We even have a fax machine now. We're moving up in the world. So, we're excited to be part of this. And we actually will share your newsletter in our newsletter each month as well, because there's a lot of information there. And I didn't realize your archives go all the way back to 2003.
Yeah, that goes back to when we were still printing it and hand labeling it for the post office. What a nightmare that was. When we went digital, it was... Going digital gave us so much more flexibility, and also a distribution rate that far surpasses what we ever could have done with mail. Last time I looked at the database, I think we were somewhere around 45,000 people on our email database.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's worked out very well. Now, you said you have 15 acres of lemons?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we just took out 5 acres of those and put avocados in because the lemon market is terrible.
That's interesting, because when they used to mail it out, I would read the San Diego County Crop Report.
Right.
And I think they usually run like I think it's 2 year lag time. So you don't have the most current information you can get is usually about 1.5 to 2 years old. But at one time, as far as citrus crops are concerned, lemons were the highest dollar per ton.
That's not the case anymore. We've got lemons on the trees right now that we're just hoping and praying that we can harvest them because there's just no market for them. And unfortunately, the east of us here in Yuma and that area, the desert valleys, that's where a lot of the lemons are growing. It's really for us to even have lemons available now, we try to find our timing is the critical thing. And these are the Eureka lemons.
So
that's
lemon.
The challenge. Yeah. And so we actually – avocados are challenging too because of our competitors to the south and the fact that that can be a challenge too.
You know, I heard an old saying.
Yes.
In my Pueblo when I was growing up, that when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Have you tried that for your lemons or no?
No. Some of our customers want to make limoncello. They're a little bit more of that. But, you know, it's really challenging because we can grow the best crops here. But, again, if the market doesn't bear it, we literally last year were waiting and waiting and waiting, and almost some of the branches were breaking. Mm-hmm. So, it's a challenging situation to be in if you're a farmer. And you tie that into the whole issue with the Asian citrus psyllid and the Wan Long Bing. And so, So, anyway, farming is challenging, but it's a blessing at the same time. And to have the acreage we do and able to farm, we consider it a privilege.
Yeah.
You know, is there, as you wait for the market to hopefully change and for the better for you, is there a chance that these storms will damage the lemon crop in Arizona or not really?
Not really, no. The biggest thing you deal with is brown rot from the spores splashing up on the lower portions of the branches. But we spray a copper fungicide around the base of the trees so that keeps the brown rot to a minimum. But really not too, unless there's a freeze. That's the only time we made money in citrus was when there was a freeze in Florida or northern or central California. But that's the way it is with farming, right?
Yeah. You know, go ahead.
With the limoncello, have you specialty spirits are a huge market.
Yeah, distilling's getting big in San Diego County.
Have you looked at that in any serious fashion?
Not directly, no. Because, see, as a grower, we pretty much are relying on the packing house, and that would be something driven by them if they're creative enough to do that. But normally they aren't.
You're going to have to reach out to Cutwater.
Somebody's going to have to do it. Yeah, I've got plenty of limits next week I'll bring, if Case George doesn't get back.
When I met my wife, she was working for the San Diego Daily Transcript, and the publisher of the Transcript is a gentleman named Bob Loomis. And his family had a big citrus ranch in Palma Valley, and they grew navel oranges. And I remember talking to him one time about it, and he said they grow the most absolutely perfect navel oranges that they can grow, and he said they didn't sell any of them domestically. They exported everything to Japan because the market in Japan was so huge.
Definitely. And there's even something, even now we have a lot of Valencia growers in Palma Valley still, and the Palma peel is what it's all about. They have the way that the soil is there and the water and the quality, this peel is very unique. And so that's their marketing thing is when they go through Sunkist or other packing houses, the Palma peel.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady. George has the day off, and we have our special guest, Kevin Grangetto from Grangetto Farm and Garden Supply. There we go. Kevin, we're going to get back to you in just a second here, but we mentioned in the first segment bulbs, and the spring bulbs are here. a pretty good selection of them, too. I saw we have a really nice selection of dahlias. Gladiolas are in stock. There were some of the...
Liatris,
which I will get back to in just a second.
Okay.
Gladiolus. And the Stargazer and...
The lilies?
Mona Lisa.
Casablanca.
Yeah.
Stargazer and Casablanca lilies, which are absolutely beautiful, huge flowers, easy to grow. But the one thing about lilies is that if you're growing them in the house, they are very toxic to cats and dogs. So if you have,
if you have
pets that like to chew on plants, that's not one that I would recommend having in the house. But they're really easy to grow, and the stargazers and the Casablancas, those things will get 6 or 7 inches across.
What brought that up? The toxic to cats and dogs? As
I see it pop up frequently in pet forums.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and it tends to be cats more than anything else,
right?
Because they're usually indoors,
chewers, yeah.
And they can be the ones that like to chew on stuff. If you didn't get potatoes, we have more potatoes.
Don't you say it like that. You take that back.
Who brought all those potatoes in?
We've got a lot of potatoes. Just as we were running out of potatoes, now we have more potatoes.
What potatoes did you get in? Like Yukon Golds and things like that?
What did we get in?
And we had some purples, and we had some fingerlings, and we have some, I think we have a little assortment box.
Yeah.
But we bring in a few boxed seed potatoes for the people who missed the fall planting. And through winter, I know there's still a few left of those, but
and
we always have people that want them now.
Right.
And our big selection has passed through, but we still have a decent selection.
Yeah, no, there's a good selection. If you like potatoes, we got you covered. We also got a lot of garlic back in too. So there's a nice selection.
It's the same thing, because a lot of people don't think about it
right
in the fall when we first get them in, and so they come in with their spring planting, which we do in the winter, and want to know where they are, and so we have to get a few in to take care of them.
And we still have a few of the onion starts available too. And these are not onion sets. These are the onion starts.
You know, we were talking about leeks last week,
mm-hmm.
and I was reading about something. I guess it's because I talk about it that these things pop up on my phone and tell me that leeks have a compound in them that are very, very good for you, and they're very good for gut health. And so I'm going to have to buy a chunk of leeks. And you know what? I talked about how the stupid gophers had not found my onion set last week.
They found them?
They found them.
No, that's too bad.
And I got home. I set a bunch of gopher hawks in my onion patch,
mm-hmm.
and two of them were popped up. Neither of them had a gopher in it. So
how's that?
I don't know.
They're smarter.
Yeah, the gophers are smarter than I. That's clear.
Well, that's a given.
Yeah.
But the liatris, which is kind of an interesting plant, has kind of a long, narrow
spike
leaf to it, but it also has a tall spike about the diameter of a quarter, and beautiful little fringy flowers on it. But you know what the interesting thing about liatris is?
I'm on the edge of my seat.
It's the only, as far as I know, it is the only plant that puts up a flower spike where the flowers open from the top down.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is.
Most flower spikes go up and the flowers open from the bottom and work their way up to the top. Liatris starts at the top and works its way down.
I did not know that.
Why do you think is that?
I have no idea.
Do you think it's the auxins and the different plant hormones in there that maybe trigger that?
Yeah, Maybe down in Australia does it the other way around.
One of the callers can educate us and answer that question.
So, but anyway, well, see, now you have to go plant some liatris and find out.
No, I don't. I'm going to plant
Or you could just do what you usually do. You could go and take some leatras home and leave them out in the outside
next to the
and
sweet
not
potatoes.
And not plant them. Yeah, put them next to your potatoes.
I do have a good crop of bulbs at home, ready to be planted, including some glads that were left over from last year.
I was going to say it's probably several years worth of bulbs that are left over out there. So, anyway, if you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. If I can figure out where the cursor is on the screen, we are going to go talk to Bob. Hold on, Bob.
Oh, no, I took care of Bob.
Oh, you took – okay. Thank you. Thank you, Brendan. I hadn't even
noticed. Since he missed the drum roll before the Liatris expose, he made up for it here.
Oh. In your business, is it similar to – well, our busiest season usually starts, depending on the weather, either late February or March.
Same for us.
And then runs through about June and then
– Then tapers down.
Starts to taper off.
Yeah, the big time for us is that March, April time period, especially avocados. That's when our growers start to fertilize avocados, usually in probably latter part of February, beginning of March, before they start to bloom. Mm-hmm. And then we hit them again in June and then again in September. But – yeah, avocados are still king for us. Citrus at the same time. You mentioned gophers. I was at a trade show on Wednesday in Phoenix, and the biggest conversation was gopher control, and I happened to have the gopher hawk vendors there. And we sell it just like you guys do. It's very popular, but it's tricky in setting it and making sure you get it in the burrow correctly.
And not
pushing it down too hard because you can damage the mechanism there. So it's very successful for some people. I have had a hard time getting them to be successful in my yard. And it depends, I think, on your soil texture as well. But gophers are going to be a huge problem again this year. And I was going to ask you guys, these people always come in, have you guys had success with any of the gopher repellent plant material that's supposed to be out there?
Oh, gopher purge?
Yeah.
It might work, but it's a weed, and it spreads like a weed, and it seeds, and it'll come up everywhere.
And you have to use it as a barrier.
So
you have to, have a hedgerow around wherever it is that you're trying to keep the gophers out.
I wouldn't do it.
And then we were talking about these different repellents and other things, too.
Castor oil.
There's actually a liquid version of that now you can run through your irrigation system, and we're trying to evaluate that because people are always looking for alternatives, especially with the regulations now with difastinone being more restricted, and strychnine has always been that way. But, yeah, it's always a challenge. Boy, I tell you, if you could build a better gopher trap – or just like a better mouse trap.
Somebody would beat a path to your door.
That wouldn't let you stop.
Well, as far as I'm concerned from the experience, I've been fortunate. I live in Scripps Ranch, and there's too much rock in the soil for gophers to really take hold.
I'll bring you some.
Don't relocate them. They're endangered species.
From my experience, the one trap that works consistently all the time is the Maccabee traps.
Yeah, that's true. And we use those too. We actually have another version called the Gophinator for smaller gophers, and it does really well too. It's a little trickier to set, but it's another spring trap. It's a metal one. It's a kind of a silverish color. And you kind of wind it up.
I've been having trouble setting that without destroying my hands.
There's a technique too. We have a couple of guys at the farm that they are gopher specialists. And we can trap them with the best of them. But
it was about a year ago. I was writing off the gopher hawk. I was swearing it off that I wasn't going to use it anymore. But then I got successful with it for a little while. But now I'm unsuccessful again. So
George is pretty happy with it.
Yes, he is.
He even had a hawk
take one away. You know, it worked.
I heard about that day.
Yeah, that worked out really well. You know, and so one of the things with the with the repellents that you have to be careful of, and we caution people with it. Rabbits have not been a big issue, at least down in Scripps Ranch, for over a year now. And we used to have them in our yard all the time in the evenings. They would come in and feed on the grass and hang around. But their population has been decimated. I think there was a There was a virus that was going around that, that was killing the wild rabbits a while back.
Not in my hood.
Oh, you still
want me to bring
them
in some rabbits?
I got rabbits. I got rabbits too.
But
the coyotes help to take care of them on our farm. Yeah.
You know, people come in and they want something to keep the rabbits out of the yard, and liquid fence works pretty well. But we have to caution people. Well, you know, before you put down liquid fence as a barrier, you need to make sure that you get all of the rabbits out of your yard, or you just penned them in.
Exactly,
because they're not going to leave. The same thing that keeps them out is going to keep them from leaving. So some of those can be a little tricky.
Definitely.
Yeah. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and special guest Kevin Grangetto from Grangetto's Farm and Garden Supply here in San Diego. And you said you have your locations again are?
Yeah, Escondido is our main office. Okay. Encinitas and Fallbrook. And today, okay, I can make a little pitch. Today we have some master gardeners coming into the Encinitas store at 10 o'clock, and they're going to talk about different pest control.
Oh.
So that's a relationship we just started with the master gardeners. They're going to visit our stores on a monthly basis and just impart that knowledge to the customers.
Well, excellent.
What time are they going to be there?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Okay. Yep. And that's in Encinitas
today.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, very good.
Now,
very
earlier, good. Kevin, you said that you closed your Valley Center store because no water.
Right.
Is Valley Center drying up all the wells and the farming up there?
I should say the water costs are getting prohibitive. They're charging $2,400 an acre foot for water, and like an avocado crop would take 4 to 5 acre feet per acre of trees a year. So it's just cost prohibitive. And so they're selling much less water than they used to, which impacts a lot of things. In addition, it causes the other consumers to have to absorb those costs. So the farmers just at some point, you just can't do it anymore.
I thought they had lots of good groundwater up there. No?
Not very good quality, no. And especially for avocados, they need very good quality water. Citrus can get by, and so that's why the citrus growers are still in Palma Valley. All that the well water down there is fine, and they have adequate supplies. But again, it's all dependent on Mother Nature getting us the rain we need.
We used to buy plants from a gentleman who had a nursery up in Valley Center, and he had told me, because he had his nursery was on old orange groves.
Mm-hmm.
And he still had a lot of oranges there. And I asked him why he wasn't selling them, because I used to go up there with my mom and get buckets of them. But he said, I think it was 5 acres or 10 acres. There was a certain minimum of acreage that you really had to have.
To make it
worthwhile.
Right.
Do you know what that?
It's hard to tell anymore. You know, there used to be a point where you could make some money if you went through a farmer's markets and so forth, but that just takes a lot of effort as well to get your product from the ranch to the farmer's market, and you've got competition there too. So there's not really a specific acreage. It's almost like a varietal. If you can grow a specific variety that nobody else can, or you have a marketing window, that's the game. But it is, there's, I wish I could tell you it's 5 or 10 acres, yeah. But again, it just comes back to economics. And so keep those citrus fruits coming. I mean, are you guys in the zone where you can't sell citrus?
No.
We're on the ragged edge of it, but we are
out of it. So
yeah,
for the time being.
It's definitely impacting Evergreen Nursery. I know up in North Broadway, they're out by the Meadow Farm that you mentioned, Mountain Meadow Mushroom, and that's impacted them dramatically.
Yeah.
And that's impacted us dramatically because they were a good supplier.
Yeah.
I do currently have a pomelo that's a tree that is ripening, and the flavors of that are just wonderful, with or without vodka. But both ways, it works.
Do you have
really,
an Oro Blanco?
Really well.
You have an Oro Blanco in your home?
I do not. There's one at my parents' house, but yeah. I do not have the Oro Blanco.
I brought you one today, some fruit today, yes, thank you. Last year's crop.
We're going to go to the phones. We're going to go out to Rancho San Diego. Oh, your neck of the woods.
My neck of the woods.
Where Raymond is waiting. Good morning, Raymond. How are you?
Great. How about yourself?
We're doing well. What can we do for you?
I have an ice plant on my bank, and it's the little red ones. They get the little red flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Red apple.
It's bloomed. Yeah, red apple. That's it. And it bloomed all the other years, and I've always, you know, I even fertilize it to help it bloom, but this year it didn't bloom at all. And I've noticed a lot, I haven't seen any blooming along the freeways. You know how they sometimes plant it and you see it? I was wondering, have you got any information? Is it blooming? Has it bloomed anywhere else, or is it just mine that's not blooming?
Well, if it's alive, you're way ahead of the game with red apple.
Yeah,
we stopped selling it a few years ago after the fungus came in and started wiping it out. And it wiped out most of the red apple in the county. And it was treatable, but it was ongoing. It wasn't curable. So you would have to constantly spray. And so I can't think of a reason why it wouldn't be blooming other than maybe give it some food. But if it's alive, you're way ahead of the game with red apple.
Yeah, no, it's alive, it's green, it's just because I fertilize it, that's how I used to get a beautiful bloom. I would get up on the hill and roll down buckets of Miracle Super Bloom on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that twice this year, but it just hasn't bloomed. So, I'll just be glad that it's still alive. And when does that traditionally, doesn't it usually bloom somewhere in like October and then somewhere in January or February?
Well,
or
if it indeed is red apple, I thought that bloomed almost
it's almost year round. Yeah,
with
almost
the new
all
growth.
The time, yeah.
As you said earlier, it was just that downy mildew and came in and just devastated the
wiped it out.
It's still growing, so I guess there's still hope.
Yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Keep feeding it on a regular basis, and maybe when the weather warms up, you may get some color on it.
Okay, all right. Thanks a lot. All right, bye.
Okay, thanks a lot, Raymond. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Take care. I completely forgot about red apple.
When he called and you said red apple, I thought, oh yeah, it's dying because of the downy mildew. But that wasn't his issue.
No, he's got healthy red apple, and that wasn't just red apple either.
It started with red apple.
Right?
Yeah. But it went to almost all of the ice plants. It went to Rosea. It went to Purple Productus. The whole family got destroyed.
Yeah,
but it started on red apple. That's good that it's coming back.
Not the fungus.
No, his red apple. Bloomless red apple.
Yeah. No, I can't remember the last time I saw the downy mildew come into the store.
Well, and we don't stock the red apple. We used to sell it.
Yeah. That was our number one seller for a long time. We sold tons and tons. It was so easy to grow.
And I know we were getting it for special orders for people, but not stocking it in the store. And I can't remember the last time somebody asked for red apple.
I wonder if anybody even grows it anymore.
I don't know. What was his name? The guy who was called Raymond.
Well, he grows it.
Grows it.
Yeah, I don't think he's selling it though. So anyway, classes once again in San Diego. It's going to be fruit tree question and answer with Tyler Trimble. That's at 9 o'clock. At 9:30 in Poway, it's going to be designing with California natives with Sharon from Butterfly Effect Gardens. Next weekend, spring bulbs with Kathleen in San Diego at 9 o'clock. At 9:30, it's going to be how orchids rebloom and book signing with local author Chuck McClung. All of those should be very good.
And Ronan Sharpening at Walter Anderson Nursery at Poway. From 10 to 2 today and tomorrow.
Today and tomorrow.
They did a great job on our knives. My wife brought our knives in, our cooking knives. And that guy, I was thinking just sharpening your tools, but the knives have never been better. So thank you for that tip.
Yeah, when it's done right, it makes a huge difference.
Oh, definitely. And you have some fruit trees left still, because I got some from our store and our edible landscape around the store.
Mm-hmm.
Your fruit trees are amazing.
Well, thank you. We got
some of the foreign ones that George referred me to, remember?
We do a few have a weeks very ago, good selection.
I think there's like four varieties on one mm-hmm. tree.
Yeah, the multigraphs. Yeah.
There's about another month left of the bare root fruit tree planting season. The roses are plentiful. Yeah. And you have a function at 10 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, 10 o'clock at our Encinitas location. It's 944-5777 for those of you who are going to call in. But it's our Encinitas location going to have a master gardener there talking about pest management and a very knowledgeable person coming
in. How about
in.
Gophers? Is that one of the pests?
They could be managing those as well. I think she's going to be talking specifically insect pests. But the other thing is, I just want to remind everybody with your fruit trees, and I was thinking about you guys, perfect time again for that. It's maybe second or third spray of your fungicides to right. prevent your peach leaf curl, because I did mine already, but I'm going to have to do it again after this rain period.
Do you know what he told me yesterday?
No.
That commercially you can still get lime sulfur in California, yeah. but you have to have a license to yeah. buy it and sell it.
Yeah, we have really? 2.5 gallon jugs.
And that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. We'll take all your needs.
But copper is the go-to.
Copper is the one.
The liquid copper, yeah, so we use.
I didn't know that, so I thought that was an interesting
useless
fact.
A lot
people.
Of our smaller, the vineyards, the boutique wineries, they use that on their vineyards in the dormant period.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and Mark Mahady. We'll be back next week with another hour of Garden Talk. Kevin Grangetto, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much for coming back in. I've kept George's seat warm.
And George should be back next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay dry and watch out for the runoff.
Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.